Welcome to Sunday Conversation. It's Janae Renee.
And it's Teddy Reese.
And what's going on with you, Teddy Reese, Teddy P?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm awesome. I can't complain.
Well, that is great. That is great. Just want to give a quick shout out to all my Albany State alumni out there. You know, this past weekend was the Whitewater Classic, and we had a great time.
This past weekend or last weekend?
Well, the weekend just passed. Last weekend.
Like yesterday?
Like, no.
Exactly. So like, you mean last weekend, not this past weekend.
But see, I didn't give him a shout out last week, so I got to do it.
But you still can't say this past weekend, because okay. That would have been like yesterday. We're still in the weekend.
Okay.
Thank you, Janae.
They get the point.
Well, I just want to shout out the community for everybody coming together, doing Hurricane Irma and things like that. That was kind of the first time I experienced. I was like, I'm in Georgia. I moved to Georgia, and I'm about to go through a hurricane. Mm-hmm. That was like my first time kind of experiencing it. So
yeah, we had friends at our house.
Got a little
Florida.
Nervous. Really?
Yeah, we had two families there. So I'm just blessed and happy that we were in a position we could help them
to help out. Definitely, mm-hmm. definitely. And just shout out to everybody who opened up their doors. I know the Civic Center opened up their doors, the Frank Chester Rec Center, mm-hmm. And certain shelters. And then, like you said, you opened up your home. There were several people, a couple people here at the station, opened up their home to family and friends.
Hats off to our senior leadership for pulling that together so fast. Mm-hmm. You know, and we just pray that if anything ever happened in our area and we have to leave all homes, that someone or some area would be so generous to provide the same support.
Yeah, definitely. So that's what I said.
Because when you have millions that are being moved because of something as dangerous as a hurricane, I mean, if you look at some of those islands, I mean, they are totally destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something just came through there and just wiped it all away. And so to live through that kind of torture and to, you know, all your possessions at your house
gone. You know, you hear stories of people that were just able to grab their purse. So it's like everything else that you gathered and collected over the years just gone.
And then the flooding in places like Jacksonville and you know, some places along the South Carolina and Georgia coast. You know, we're truly blessed.
Yeah.
I think right now I saw that over 30 people had died from the storm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I know. I think the last time I saw it was about 17. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure that the toll went up on that. So it's just crazy. It's just, again, I just like the fact that I saw the community come together. You had a lot of volunteers that were down at the Civic Center. People just used their time, donated money, or just, again, their time. So it's always important to come together at a time like that. And so that was this week. But one of the other things, and continuing on a serious note, I don't know if you heard about the story of Kanika Martin.
Yes.
In Chicago.
Oh my God. Tragic.
That has bothered me all week. Like all week.
You too?
I first heard about the story and I couldn't sleep that night. And this is no joke. I read about it and then I went to sleep and I tossed and turned that I had to get up and put like Martin on, like, so I can go to sleep to something funny, because I couldn't sleep with that on my mind. So
it's very disturbing.
It really is.
And for those who don't know the story, this young lady went and hung out with some friends at a hotel, and the allegations are that she was raped, and they found her dead. They found her body in the freezer of the hotel.
Right.
And somehow her mother's car that she was driving that day ended up back home.
The friends that she was with return the car to the mom along with her purse and the cell phone, but not her. And they told her they don't know what happened to her. So, and it's so many questions. You know, you have people that's coming out saying, well, she shouldn't have put herself in that situation and she shouldn't have been drinking at 19. And she just, it's so much stuff. But as a female, and I'm telling you, we all did some stuff that we shouldn't have probably done at 19 and 20 years old. Just, you can probably say 95% of the people did.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when I went out in a group, we all knew if we went somewhere together, we left together. We stayed together the entire time. That's just an unspoken rule between friends. So again, we don't know what happened. There's all of these live videos. There's a couple, you know, friends that went live the night it happened, and people are saying they can hear her in the background screaming, "Help me!" They can see reflections of men doing this. It's so much stuff going on. What we do know is that a young lady lost her life
and was placed in a freezer.
And was placed in a freezer
in a hotel that should have adequate Surveillance cameras.
Surveillance cameras. And no one seems to know anything.
Disturbing. I can only imagine a mother out there now with an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, and, you know, someone bringing your car home telling you that your daughter, they don't know where she is. And you know, bringing her purse and her phone. That has to be traumatizing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then a few days later for them to find your daughter's body in a freezer.
Yeah. After you had been to the hotel asking to see the surveillance camera and they tell you, no, it needs to be a missing persons report filed. So you go and file that report and then come back and they look at the camera. They don't see anything. But then hours later, they find her in the freezer.
Right.
So it's just, it's so many unanswered questions behind this. But definitely, it's a tragedy. And you can't tell me that when you see the other video, it's a bunch of people in this room. Like, right, the first video, right, it maybe appear about 4 or 5 people. But the later it gets in different videos, you see a bunch of people in the room. So you're trying to tell me that no one knows what happened to this 19-year-old girl.
Right. And apparently one of the girls walked her outside, and then the young lady came back in for a second. And when she went back out,
she was gone. She was that's gone. The story that's being said.
She right. was gone. That's the story. So I just hope, you know, for that family and for that young lady's mother that justice is served and that we figure out who it is. You know, contrary to her underage drinking or whatever, you may think about that. I can't think of a situation where underage drinking should validate death.
Exactly.
Or constitutes exactly. death. And, you know, and speaking of death and homicides, we have experienced quite a few here in this city ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know we've all been recently distracted with the storm and everything that came through, but it's something we still need to address because we are approaching, you know, very high numbers as far as homicide is concerned in the Columbus community. And we don't want to be known as the city where you got to be afraid to go get gas or go to the grocery store.
What my hometown is known as, St. Louis.
You don't want that type of reputation as a city. It begins to impact economic development and growth and progress and everything else. So we've been having this conversation. We've had it over the last couple of weeks. And we wanted to continue the conversation in that vein today. And we have a guest with us here, one of my good friends, very well respected here in the community, and somebody who I look up to, and someone who I think.
And very sharp, might I
ask. He's always sharp, man. He's always. I'm going to let you introduce him. You go ahead.
I feel like, you know, Teddy knows how to introduce because he knows everyone, so he knows how to give a good introduction. So I'm going to let you continue that. I want to see how you do this.
Well, see.
Because, you know,
see,
he makes it sound so well.
Now, you know, put me on the spot. I'm just going to wrap this thing on up.
He knows how to wrap this up.
You know, we have with us today the good pastor, the senior pastor from over there at St. James Missionary Baptist Church.
Wow.
The Reverend Ralph Hewlett. My friend. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Teddy.
I'm great. I'm blessed. My family's blessed. My daughter's blessed. My wife's blessed. And we just, you know, living day by day.
How old is that little baby now?
Ooh, she is a little over one. She will be 13 months in a few days.
Wow. She'll be asking for the cockies before you know it.
She walking too now a little bit more. She was taking like 1, 2, 3, boom. Now she like 10, 11, 12, 13 steps just going all around the corner and stuff and stopping and clapping because she wanted everybody to celebrate because she was walking. But you're also in leadership in the IMA, right?
Yes, sir. Teddy, I am the president of the Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance. Mm-hmm. And we are the prophetic voice of the community. You know, we are concerned about all of these murders and the anarchy that's happening in our community. And as you've said, you know, it's really deplorable, you know, the situation. And no one wants to, as you were saying, Janae, identify this as our hometown. One of the things that we find that's so deplorable about it and that people overlook is the grief, you know, that parents have to, mm-hmm. you know, go through. Mm-hmm. You know, it has been stated that the most grievous grief that one could encounter is the loss of an adult child. And so here is somebody's mother, man, they've had to go through the 5 stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then finally get down to the stage of acceptance. And so where we are, the last two people that have to deal with these individuals after they've been murdered, after they've been killed, if you will, the preacher and the undertaker. So on Monday, we have a motorcade that's going on. It's going to it will begin at the Liberty Theater on 8th Avenue. And we're going to proceed down Veterans Parkway to the Civic Center. And so it's going to be a visual display. We have Taylor's Funeral Home, Huff Funeral Home. It's going to be tomorrow, on Monday. And Taylor Funeral Home, Huff Funeral Home, Skanyers, Kimbrough's, all of the African American funeral homes.
How did y'all come up with this idea?
That's what I was. Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, Teddy, we've seen it work in other cities, cities like Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and it really made an impact in that particular city. So I'll be honest with you, we're not reinventing the wheel, but you know, we're taking a model from somewhere else, and you know, we're just trying to make a difference.
Now, going from the Liberty Theater to the Civic Center, that's a pretty short drive.
Yes.
You know, any thought to expanding the routes to actually go through neighborhoods?
Well, Teddy, I'll be honest with you. We have thought about that, and we would love to do that. But one of the reasons that we are meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, be honest with you, just be really candid, because of all of these murders, our funeral homes are busy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so, you know, this is a sacrifice on their part.
Right.
To be able to, because, like I say, you know, the preacher and the funeral homes, and the undertakers, we're the last ones to have to deal with the corpse, if you will. And so they're making a sacrifice because they are even fed up, even though it's business for them, mm-hmm. they are fed up with what they call senseless killings in our community.
Now, are you all going to allow people to walk with the motorcade, or how is
certainly,
that going to work?
Certainly, if people would like to come out and escort, walk, you know, if they feel they're up to making that walk, then sure, we will allow, you know. Because if the weather is cooperative, I don't see no reason why we can't.
Do we have any elected officials participating in this process?
Well, to be honest with you, Brother Reese, this is an interdenominational ministerial alliance. And one of the things that we see is that this is a problem that's in our community. And it is a spiritual problem. And it's from that angle that we're praying for a solution. Mm-hmm. You know, so said anything negative about our elected officials, because their problems are our problems are their problem. Mm-hmm. And usually we work hand in hand, but at this time we just hadn't invited them.
Now, did you grow up here in Columbus?
I certainly did. Born and raised in Columbus, Georgia.
Okay.
You know, graduated from Spencer High School and moved away, you know, after the military. And I was summoned back home by the good Lord, and this way he had my blessings.
You know, you are indeed a great guy, and I've said that over and over, but you're not better than your sister. I want you to know it.
Oh, wow.
Hey, I'm in agreement with you.
My sister in Christ at Greater Bellwood Baptist Church. You know, we love her.
Yeah. And you tolerate me, right?
We love her better and more.
Well, I'm all right with that, Teddy. Hey, she right. loves you, too.
Okay. Yes, sir. Now, talk about Columbus growing up and compare it to what you see today. You know, have you seen progression in your opinion, or do you see us taking backward steps? Like, what's your assessment of where we are?
Well, Teddy, to be honest with you, to a certain extent, I've seen progress, you know, with the election of African Americans in positions. But as it relates to unity, I think we've taken a step backwards.
Mm. Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And so that is disheartening.
Wow.
Before, when we were all economically, the economic playing field was kind of level as it relates to African Americans, we came together. We realized we had the same problems, but somehow or another, through the niceties of complexities that we've been blessed to have, somehow or another we've allowed it to not only marginalize us, but also to separate us. And that is so tragic.
So what needs to be done to get us back on that that Pageland back on track?
Well, we've got to get back to realizing that we are still our brother's keepers. And, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, integration is a good thing. You know, it has been marvelous to a certain extent. But just like in the Bible, when the children of Israel were on their track to the promised land, they were, you know, around other people, the Jesuites, the Hivites, the Hittites, and others, and they adopted some of the ways of those surrounding nations. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that we are doing today, we didn't do it, you know, back in the day, if you will. And so
So you think a lot of that comes from exposure to something different?
Well, there's an old saying that affiliation brings on assimilation. Mm. And so, you know, we have adopted some ways that we never, you know, had displayed those kinds of things before, those kind of heinous acts, you know, before. There are a lot of things that we are doing now. I'm just to be honest with Teddy, you know, back in the day, you read the paper and you saw an article or a situation and you just automatically knew that that was not a person of African American descent. But nowadays, you read the paper and you can't tell who it is.
Right.
Yeah. Who did what? Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, wow. And that's a very good point. And we're going to take a quick break, if you don't mind, and we'll be right back. This is Sunday Conversation.
Janae Renee.
And Teddy Reese.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation. It's Janae Renee.
And Teddy Reese.
And we're basically just talking about crime here in the city. And like Teddy said before, we've been talking about this for several weeks now because the two of us, we really want to find a solution. We know it's not something I can solve. It's not something Teddy can solve or figure out. So we welcome the community's opinion and ideas and suggestions and things like that. And so we are speaking with Reverend Ralph Hewling. He's in here with us again. Thank you for coming in. You're talking about how things have changed from back in the day, Columbus, until now. And you're also here to talk about your event tomorrow, which is the what is it called? I know it's a motorcade. You're gonna
Yes, that's what it's it actually is, a motorcade procession. Mm-hmm. And it's a visual display to the community of our concern and our abhorrence to the tragedies that we are actually doing to ourselves. You know, right. We're appalled by all of the senseless murders that's happening among us.
And you said that this worked in, like, I think Fort Lauderdale,
Florida. Yes.
Why do you think it is? Do you think it's the reality that when people see the hurts going by, that it kind of something kind of, you know, register or clicks with them, like, oh, because sometimes I feel like the youth just don't see death as final.
Right.
Like, they just don't get it. It's life. They don't value life. They don't value anything. So I do think sometimes you have to put something in their face to say, this is what you're doing. Mm-hmm. This is what you're causing. Like you say, you're causing grief to this mother, to this grandmother, to this child who's losing a parent.
Right.
Do you think that that's one of the reasons why it may have been successful in Florida?
Well, one of the studies will reveal that violent video games and violent television shows kind of perpetuate violence among viewers. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes, you know, with some of those games, they don't really realize that when we're murdering people, that they are actually gone
real
forever.
Life, right.
Absolutely.
Right.
This is not a game. This is not curtain call. Yeah. This is real life.
Yeah, you don't get hit.
You can't start reset. Over, right?
No reset button.
You know,
no.
Mushroom don't give you an extra life.
Okay.
Four up. Mm-hmm. It's Mario Brothers to do. Well, you know, I'm on social media quite a bit, Pastor Hewlin, and, you know, I'm oftentimes disturbed with some of the messages I see, particularly from a lot of young people who have lost faith in the church. Mm-hmm. That questions their spirituality, that may be listening to this message today into this radio cast. What can you say to those that have somehow found themselves putting blame in the church and in our black leaders about the efforts of black clergy in our community?
That's such an old conversation, you know, and people have been, you know, criticizing the church for hundreds of years, and I'll admit, you know, people in the church are not perfect. you know, and there might be some hypocrites in the church, but you know, I've discovered that I'd rather be in church with a few hypocrites than to wind up in hell with all of them. And so people, you know, I would like to say to people today that God is still real. Mm-hmm. You know, the God that brought our ancestors from out of slavery, the God that led Martin Luther King and those preachers to do what they did to enact civil rights on our behalf. You know, the same God that has brought grandmother and grandfather, you know, this far along the way, mm-hmm. he's still real today. And people need to get a personal relationship, you know, with that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and mm-hmm. of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty strong message. And I didn't want to ask you that question, but, you know, I think that we got to start addressing these things out loud and in the public. And, you know, oftentimes things are placed on social media sites and they go unchecked. You know, mm-hmm. no one addresses them, and next thing you know, this person has gotten a few likes based upon some type of theory that's not based in anything. And, you know, and historically, the church has been the center stone of the African American community, and there are many people that will argue that, you know, a lot of the way that we've lost is because you no longer have those strong church communities like you used to, because less people or attending church, and we want them to come back because that is the cornerstone of our community. It is where leadership and ideas are formed. It's where you can go and have a good family outing. You know, before there were recreational centers, you had Sunday evening at church where everybody would bring a dish and have a good time and jump rope and play hopscotch and everything else. You know, and right now in a lot of our communities, you know, the recreational centers are closing down. We don't have many things for our young people to do. Vacation Bible school is still a great thing for the children over the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could wave a magic wand or snap your finger and make some things happen as it relates to the community and church attendance and involvement, what would be your desires on that level?
Well, Teddy, first of all, let me just say this. When I was working on my master's degree, many years ago, I had to do a research paper, and it was during that time when I had my big afro, man, my afro comb in the back of my head, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to do a research paper on the disproportionate number of African Americans incarcerated in the state of Georgia. My professor tried his best to discourage that, but you know, at that time, man, I was stubborn, so I wanted to do it, and I didn't realize it was going to be so tough. Well, you know, in the master's level program, you have to maintain a B to stay in the master's level. So at the end of the semester, my project was not finished, so my professor gave me an I. So I knew I had to get real serious. Long story short, I had to interview 800 African Americans who was incarcerated in the state of Georgia. 800 to be able to get the research, you know, that I needed. And so after interviewing 800,
it had to be a strong statistical.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, because yeah. You got to have, if you want to have validity, you right. got to have something that's reliable.
Right. Talk to five people. Right.
Absolutely, right. No, you can't, no, you know, and so it has to be representative. And so after 800 inmates that are African-American that were incarcerated, we found out that only 11 of them were raised in the Sunday school and in church. So my hypothesis was that if African-Americans are raised in Sunday school and in church, there's a minimal chance that they will experience the criminal justice system. And we realized that that it was valid. And so, you know, many of the people today, you know, that are incarcerated, you know, you ask them, you know, their affiliation with church, they don't have any.
What year was that study?
That was in 92.
That was in 92, okay. And Bill Clinton was elected in 94?
Yes.
Okay, so that was even before his implementation of the three strike policies and no tolerance, zero tolerance policies that tremendously increased the number of African Americans incarcerated. So, you know, even before that, we had strong numbers, but now they're just completely outrageous.
They're staggering.
You know, there are more African Americans incarcerated than there are some people in some small countries on this work.
And I just want to slide this in real quick. It's a little shameless plug, but I really enjoyed this documentary, Ava DuVernay's 13th, where she talked about the mass, the mass incarceration.
It was amazing. Yes.
Check it out. She just actually won last Sunday 2 Emmys for that documentary.
Didn't
know that. So definitely check that out when you all get a chance. Great documentary.
Okay. So Reverend Hugh, after the processional, what's the plan of the IMA from that point? How do we look to create more community engagement and a real conversation about, you know, this problem of crime?
What can the community do? Yeah.
Right. Well, one of the things that we aspire to do after the processional is getting all of our churches, you know, involved. You know, let's open up our church doors. Let's reach out. You know, let's evangelize. You know, let's have these conversations. You know, let's get out and meet the kids in our community. We can no longer be afraid to get outside of our doors and let people know that we care about them. Because that old cliche, it might sound cliche, is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to make a difference, you know.
And we're starting. It's starting at the Liberty Theater and going to
the Civic Center. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Well, Reverend Hughley, I really appreciate from the bottom of my heart what you guys are doing to make a difference here. As I told Janae last week, or week before last, I can't remember. You know, I'm not the type of individual to criticize people that are trying. There are some that's going to sit in on the sidelines and going to say, well, what they're doing ain't going to make a difference. But what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Other than criticizing the people who are trying to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're making a conscious effort, you won't have time to criticize anyone else. And I appreciate you all spirit and your thoughtfulness on this because, you know, I feel in my heart that just like myself, you do believe, too, that things can change. Sure. This doesn't have to be the norm for us. We don't have to accept this. And I wrapped it up with saying that, you know, we may be in a dark place now, but the sun will rise again.
Certainly.
And I do believe that. And you know, you being here today and the event that's happening tomorrow is indication that we are taking this serious. We are beginning to have the conversations. We are going to start going into the communities, empowering neighbors again to take control over their communities, you know, making so that they're not afraid if they see criminal activity to go ahead and call it out and get somebody on it and do something about it, because a small criminal exchange or transaction can turn into the murder of 5 or 6, 7 people. That's what we're seeing. It's like a snowball effect. But we do believe the sun will rise again. So
yes, indeed.
Reverend Hughley, we want to thank you for your time, good sir.
Thank you for having me.
And I am going to try my best to come out in the morning. 8 a.m., right?
8 a.m.
I'll be walking.
All right.
But I'm going to come on out.
All right, now don't wear those stilettos now.
You know, I won't.
No,
I won't.
Railroad tracks between.
But you know, I'm fierce in them stilettos, though, Teddy. So I can make that walk if I needed to.
Maybe a pothole
or two. You know how to hop over it and keep moving.
Okay.
I'm a beast in them stilettos, Teddy.
Okay.
You know, so any means necessary. That's what I do.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, don't challenge it, because make that a challenge. I will call out all my ladies and say, let's walk from the Liberty Theater to the Civic Center in our heels.
We're going to call it Stomping Out Violence with Stilettos. That's what we're going to call it. Okay? Stomping Out Violence with Stilettos. So, any lady who want to join Janae Renee tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, wear your stilettos, because we are Stomping Out Violence with Stilettos. Not to overshadow the IMA now that's doing their procession. Because this is a very important message.
What's the name of the challenge again?
Stomping Out Violence with Stilettos. It, you know, we're going to lead with our women. Leading with the women.
Okay, there we go.
Because these are our sons that were birthed by some woman. So, therefore,
yes,
somebody should be able to touch them.
Yes, indeed.
Stomping Out Violence with Stilettos.
I don't even know what to say after that. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Hughley.
Hughley,
I appreciate you,
Janae and Teddy.
Good
both
man
for
of God. Thank you so much.
God bless you both.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You so thank much. You. All right, Teddy Reese, another Sunday in the can.
Another Sunday in the can, and another great conversation with an amazing community leader here. You know, I'm just, when we have guests here, you know, I know a lot of these people personally, but talking to them makes me focus again and realize their contribution to our community. And Reverend Hughley, he's just another great leader, selfless leader, that's not looking for a thank you or a pat on the back or somebody to to sing his praises. He just truly cares about the community in which he was born and raised. Oh. And him and the other leadership of the IMA, Reverend Flakes, Pastor Chester, and the other leaders of the IMA, they all do a phenomenal job. And we appreciate you. We thank you. We love you. And we're going to keep following your word and your leadership through God's vision.
All right. Enough said. You said it all.
I usually
wrap
do.
Wrap it up. You do. You close it out so well.
I'll be the closer.
Oh, Lord. Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee.
And Teddy Reese.
Talk to you next week.